A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. He wrote, "I've gone for 30 years now, and in that time I have heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I cannot remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time. The preachers and the priests are wasting theirs by giving sermons at all." Now, this started a real controversy in the letters to the editor column in the paper. So much to the delight of the editor, it went on for weeks until someone wrote this clincher. "I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this, they all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today." So folks, don't get discouraged if you don't remember Pastor Choi's sermon every Sunday. If you ask me, "Pastor Choi, remember what sermon you preached 2 weeks ago?" I don't remember either. So what chance you got? But anyway, the point is this. Whenever you hear the sermon, God's word being planted in your heart, believe or not, that's what's happening. And it's growing. It all depends on you, how much attention you pay to the sermon. And I talked about this. Our spiritual enemy, devil, does his best to take away the God's word seed from your heart by all means. So one example is that if you think of, "Oh, after service, I'm going to shopping and so forth and so forth." The devil is trying to divert your attention from the sermon. That's what you need to do. Catch up. "Oh, I need to stop and focus on the sermon." Okay? All right. And this month, December, I preached a sermon series on three things I believe that matter to us. The three things are hope, faith, and love. I'm sure you would agree with me on their importance in our lives. For instance, if you have no hope, you have no tomorrow. It works the other way too. If you have no tomorrow, then you have no hope. If you have no faith, you will find yourself constantly worrying about tomorrow. If you have no love, your life will be dry and cold as it can be. 2,000 years ago, God's word already pointed out such importance of the three in human lives. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it reads like this. "Now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." I can say to you, it is God's will for us to have faith and hope and love continually in our lives. If any one of these missing, our life as a believer cannot be complete. Everyone needs hope, faith, and love. Since I already spoke about hope in the Lord as well as faith in the Lord in the past three Sundays, today I'm going to talk about love in the Lord. Now, if I ask you to summarize in one word what Christmas is all about, what word would you choose? Many of us would choose the word peace, or joy, or happiness, or giving, charity giving, or love, angels, miracle, shopping, presents, decorations and parties and trees and so forth. You name it. What word would you choose? I will choose one word that is love. In the year of 1885, there was one poet whose name was Christina Rossetti. She wrote a poem, Love Came Down at Christmas. That became a song, you know, one of the hymnals too. I believe the poet truly captured the spirit of Christmas, which is love. Indeed, Christmas comes down to love, doesn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, we all know that verse. Love and Christmas are inseparable. Of course, the love I'm talking about this morning is not human love, which often happens to be emotional and conditional. Rather, I'm talking about divine love that defies and even surpasses any understanding of human love. Now, this is the love that only God can exercise, and this is the love that only people of God, whom God empowers, can exercise. This is the love that sacrificed God's sinless Son, Jesus, on the cross, so that the undeserving sinners like you and me may be forgiven our sins freely. By the way, some of you may wonder why I have chosen today's text. Seems like nothing to do with the Christmas instead of conventional Christmas text. Here's why. Because I see a very close and important connection between today's text and the Christmas spirit. And that connection is love. Now, speaking of love, there's one Greek word for love. It is called agape. There are other Greek words for love as well, like eros. That's where the English word erotic comes from. Eros means a very sensual type of love. There is another type of love. It's Greek word philia, means friendship. That's where Philadelphia comes from. And all these things. But anyway, the Greek word for love here in our context is agape. If you read today's text one more time, in verse 37 and verse 39, you see Jesus talking about, you shall love. And that word, verb, love, also has the same root as agape, divine love. Did you know that God is love? We love to quote that, don't we? God is love. It's so great. God is love. Yes, he is indeed. Love is not God, but God is love. As the author of God, don't you believe that God can teach us what true love is all about? In the Bible, God instructs us whom and what to love, for us to love. That is, he asks us to love him. He asks us to love our neighbors. He asks us to love justice and mercy. He also instructs us what not to love, such as idols, molten image, for example, or even money. Do not misquote yourself, money is evil. No, that's the wrong quote. Okay? The love of money is the root of all evil. That's the right quote. But the Bible, God says that do not love money. He further instructs us how to love one another unconditionally and sacrificially as Christ has loved us. God even commands us to love our enemies, not to hate them. So I tell you, love is everything in Christian faith and practice. Now, when it comes down to love, however, we must begin with the agape love we received from God. We received agape love from God freely, have we not? And without works, and faith alone, and by believing in what Christ has done for us. Now listen to Jesus who said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, freely you received, freely give. The same God who has demonstrated his love for you and me in Christ expects and commands us to love back. First, love God back, and second, love our neighbors back. In other words, I'm telling you, we must reciprocate God's love to others around us with divine love. And those people around us are neighbors. By the way, if you do not love your neighbors, you do not know God or love God at all. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. If you listen to 1 John 4:8 says this, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." It is an oxymoron if you say that I love God, but I hate my neighbor. In fact, God's word even calls you a liar. Listen again to the word of God in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. It makes sense, isn't it? How could you love God, invisible God, when you cannot love someone you can see with your eyes? To love your neighbor is a sure sign of the love of God. Love received, love given freely. Now, if you look at the title of my sermon, I said love in the Lord, because you cannot love God and love others without God's help. That's why I said in the Lord. Seems like every one of us is now ready to love our neighbors with God's love, agape love. But somehow in our reality, we find it almost impossible to love, especially those who are so obnoxious. I don't know about your family, but I do have one or two in my own family. Extended family. Don't tell my wife. She's not obnoxious. You're telling me the truth because it's impossible for us to love as Christ commands us to. You know why? Because we tend to rely on our own willpower, which often betrays you. You know, New Year's coming, New Year's resolution is coming, and if you ask him, Pastor Choi, how good are you? How resolute are you in terms of keeping your resolutions? I would say 3 days. I cannot fully rely on my willpower. So when it comes down to reciprocating God's word, we must not, I must not, you must not rely on our own power. Rather, we must rely on the power that comes from the Holy Spirit within us. True love is only possible in the Lord. Listen to this. Here's why I say it. Romans 5:5 says this. The love of God, we're talking about the love of God, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. In other words, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we simply cannot love our neighbors. Let me tell you a story of a pastor. His name is Reverend Son, S-U-N, S-O-N. It happened during the Korean War. I was born and raised in Korea. He had a son. And the son also had his friend. All of them live in the small village in South Korea. And the Korean War broke out. The north, from the north, communists invaded and they occupied this particular village. You know what communists do typically? They kill people. Imagine this, millions of people lost their lives under the regime of Stalin and, you know, Soviet Union. Also in China, millions, scores of millions of people perished because of this communist practice. What they typically do, they just accuse you, you are, you know, bourgeois, that means that, you know, enemy of the communism, and they kill you. So that was happening. What happened is that this pastor's son's friend collaborated with the communists from the north. So he became their henchman to execute people in the village by shooting them. And unfortunately, the friend, supposedly friend, shot the pastor's son to death. Well, situation reversed sooner or later, and the communists all, you know, just ran away. But this young man, the murderer, didn't have a luck to escape. So he was arrested, caught by the villagers. So he was put into the trial. To make the long story short, this pastor went to the courthouse and asked the judge to release this man to him under his custody so that he would make him his adopted son. Now imagine this. It's hard for him to forgive the murderer of his own son, but he made him, the murderer, his new adopted son. That's what he did. The best story is that the murderer, later on, because of this Christian love demonstrated, he became a pastor by himself. Now, how could you explain this kind of practice except God's power? That's what I mean. True love is only possible in the Lord. Let me read today's text one more time and listen carefully. You will get something out of it. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus has silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." The entire Old Testament rely on these two commandments. Now note here that everything we believe and practice in our faith is founded upon two loves. The love of God and the love of our neighbors. How do we love God? God says, "Keep my commandments." How do we love our neighbors? God says, "Do unto them as you would have them do to you." It is known to us as golden rule, isn't it? If you want to quote the golden rule, give proper credit to Jesus. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets." Love, isn't it? Isn't it what we all look for during Christmas time? Folks, this Christmas, I encourage all of us to love our God with all our hearts and minds, with all our soul and strength. Let us love our neighbors as well as ourselves. Remember, when you do it, I believe we will experience Christmas every day in our lives. Let's bow heads and pray. Well, our organist shared with us a wonderful story this morning. Someone paid for her groceries. I think the gentleman practiced his love for his neighbor. I believe that pleased the Lord in heaven. By looking down, his child so pleased with the stranger's kindness. I thought maybe we can do the same thing to our neighbors that would please the Lord in heaven. So Lord, as we continue celebrating the birth of Christ in us, help us to remember it all boils down to two loves. Love of God by keeping your commands, and love our neighbor as ourselves. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.